Our scripture today, we continue in Mark, and one of my favorites, don't pick on me, I know I say that a lot, but we begin in Mark chapter 9, verse 2, right where we left off. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud, "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. They kept the matters to themselves, discussing what rising from the dead meant. And they asked him, "What do the teachers of the law say that Moses or Elijah must come first?" Jesus replied, "To be sure, Elijah does come first and restore all things. Why then it is written that the Son of Man must suffer much and be rejected? But I tell you, Elijah has come, and they have done to him everything they wished, just as it is written about him." The word of the Lord. Again, I know I say this a lot. This is one of my favorites. And it must be true, because when we talked about the transfiguration, which is what this is traditionally called, in Luke, I said it. So I said it twice, so it's got to be true. And it has everything that just captures you. It reveals who Jesus is. There's a lot going on here. The more you study it, the deeper meanings you find within it, the little pieces that seem to leap off the page. But this time around, as an extrovert, I found a little something more. Now, I think everybody here would never accuse me of being too quiet and not talking enough. That is not something my parents say. My parents say I have the gift of gab. That's the extrovert in me. And I'm sure there's extroverts here. I'm sure we know extroverts. We love to talk. And when we get excited about a topic, boy, we just want to tell you all about it. And we could keep going for hours. And we're just full of energy, full of excitement, ready to go. And maybe that's not you. Maybe you're the introvert. Maybe you're the unlucky one who usually gets stuck talking to the extrovert. But I want us to hold these images together because, boy, I think not only does this scripture today have something to say about who Jesus is, not only does it reveal who Jesus is, but I think it speaks right to us today, right here in Lent. So if we're listening, we'll hear it. Amen? All right, let's dive in. So the story goes, 6 days have passed. 6 days have passed from when Jesus said, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter says, "You're the Messiah." And remember what follows is great. Don't tell anybody. Let me explain what Messiah means to you. And Peter goes, no, Jesus. Let me tell you what Messiah means, right? 6 days have passed. What does that mean? What day are we on? Seventh day. We don't know if it's the Sabbath, but it's seven. And where are they? For those of us who were on the mountain in God's story, they're on a mountain. So our ears should be picking up. This is biblical themes and imagery coming right at us. And he takes three disciples, not 12, three. Peter, James, and John. I like to consider them the inner circle, right? If you're thinking of the first circle outside of Jesus, it's Peter, James, and John, then the 12, then the 70, then the crowd. It's a good way to imagine it. And I guarantee you, Peter, James, and John are thinking they're just going to go with Jesus to do what Jesus normally does. Multiple times in Scripture, in the Gospels, we're told, and Jesus went to a quiet place to pray. So I guarantee you they're going, all right, when we finally do climb this mountain, We're going to rest. We're going to pray, right? It's a retreat. They're expecting to camp. They camp all the time. They're travelers. But they get up there, and all of a sudden, something different begins to happen. Jesus begins to shine. And because I have too many years as a children's director and youth pastor, every time I read this, I hear, shine, Jesus, shine, right? VBS all the way. And yes, there's a shine, Jesus, shine moment, but not just like Moses. Moses' face shines when he's in the presence of God. But they say even his clothes are radiating with the glory of God. You couldn't even bleach his clothes this white. And they're already going, something's happening. And then who should appear but Elijah and Moses? Which of course they would. These are the two guys who talked with God on a mountain. Right? Mount Sinai, burning bush, Moses. And his face shined too. We would expect him. Ooh, but Elijah. Remember? That's the one we like quoting. Was God in the storm and the wind? No. Was he in the earthquake? No. He was in the gentle whisper. Right? That's Elijah. And they're talking. It says they're discussing things. They're actually talking. To be a fly on the wall. Could you imagine? Have you ever played the game, if you had a time machine, would you go back in time? What moment would you go to? This has to be one of them. You've got Jesus shining gloriously. You've got Moses and Elijah, and they're talking. If we listen to Luke's version of this story, he gives us an extra detail. They're talking about the new Exodus. Jesus' exodus that is to come. That's exciting. I bet you if we were to listen in, we would hear a pep talk. I too did an exodus, says Moses. I went up to the powers that be and I faced them, right? Yes, there will be suffering, there will be hardship, right? There were plagues that I had to navigate through. But God will carry you through. Elijah, I went up against the prophets of my time that were praising Baal, leading the nation astray. And I still faced them, and God got me through. And even when I was chased out of town, God was there in the wilderness to lift me up, right? You can imagine the conversations they're having. And then we turn our eyes to Peter, James, and John. Now, Moses... Could you get a bigger biblical figure? Jesus? Oh, wait, he's there. How about Elijah, another prophet? These are big, heavy hitter, important, famous people of faith. Do you think they were a little excited? Do you think they were a little overwhelmed? Y'all have lived through Elvis, the Beatles, and we're living through the Taylor Swift era. We know what happens when people meet famous people. We get jittery. We get excited. We get screamed sometimes, right? We're just that excited. We don't know what to do. And that's where Peter comes in. Because of course it's Peter. We've already seen this is right up Peter's alley, right? Peter walks in. He interrupts the discussion. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Rabbi, Rabbi. This is great. This is amazing. We want to keep this going. I can't believe Moses is here. Elijah's here. You're glowing. You're shining. Oh my gosh. Let's set up something. Can we set up camp? Can we extend this moment? Is there anything you need? Can we do something for you, Jesus? Right? Do you know somebody like that? The energy that's coming off of Peter through this gospel reminds me of my uncle, my dearly beloved uncle, and a very specific story. Not quite the same, but the energy's there. This is the first time I brought them over or had gone over to their place with my wife, Melissa. She was not my wife at the time. This was one of those moments where I'm introducing them to somebody important in the family, and it's Sunday. It was after church. We'd gone to their house, and my uncle, he is somebody who does hospitality right. And on Sundays, on football Sundays, you're going to have some good meat. The house just... You walked in and you were like, this is my favorite place in the whole world, right? And even when you were outside, you could smell the grilling and the deliciousness. You went outside and you had tons of things grilling. You go inside, there's so many meats you didn't even know where to begin. And we're sitting there and we're talking, and after a while, my uncle goes, Melissa,
it's for you. It's for you to enjoy. And you hear the laughing coming because most of us now know she doesn't eat meat. Right? The panic. The panic and the energy that set into my uncle going, there's nothing but meat. So all of a sudden, my uncle disappears. Me, my aunt, Melissa, we're all still talking, right? And then all of a sudden, he reappears and goes, we got grapes. I can get you grapes. Would you like some grapes? And he goes, I apologize. It's the end of the week. We haven't gone shopping. This was our big last day before we go shopping. I've got nothing green other than grapes. And it's still one of my favorite stories to tell because it's got that same energy, right? It's got that, Jesus, can I do something for you? Can we make this better? How can I help? Right? Peter's there. But Peter's missing it. Do you think he heard a word of the discussion that was happening? We know he didn't. Because the next thing that happens is a Sinai moment. We are told when the Israelites get to Mount Sinai, what happens? The cloud descends on the mountain. It says the cloud descends on them on top of the mountain. And there we hear the voice of God from heaven. Boy, don't we wish we got a voice like that from heaven. And it says what? The same thing that it says at Jesus' baptism. The voice declares, this is my son, my beloved, whom I'm well pleased. But did you catch the change at the ending? Listen to him. Listen to him. Take a moment. Peter, stop talking, stop doing. Listen to him. And the cloud goes up. Peter, James, and John is there. Jesus is now not shining. And he turns to them and goes, all right, guys, play it cool. As we go down, don't tell anybody, right? Don't tell anybody until I'm risen from the dead. And the three disciples, you could be like, yeah, cool, 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 Jesus. We won't tell anybody. And then they start talking. What do you think he means by raised from the dead? Do you get it? No, I don't get it either. And I think they might have if they would have listened. If they didn't interrupt. If they had actually taken the time to listen to the conversation that was happening rather than do and interrupt and talk. I think they might have gotten a little bit more of Good Friday and Easter Sunday of an understanding. And maybe that hits them after the fact. How many holy moments do you think we miss? Because we're too busy doing or talking. How much do we talk at God but don't listen? Do we try listening? How many times do we seek to speak for God before we actually hear what he has to say? Lent is the perfect opportunity that we get to do this. Lent, and specifically this passage, invites us to begin to actually listen. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and my sheep know my voice. How can you know the voice if you never let Jesus speak? We think of Lent as a time of prayer, right? And oftentimes we go to the analogy of prayers like a phone call, right? Because you can hear somebody, you can have a conversation, but you don't always see them. That's changing nowadays with like FaceTime and video chatting, but still relevant. Have you ever gotten onto a call where they say, hello, hi, nice to see you, immediately begin to speak at you for a half hour, and then say, that was a great chat, call you again, see you soon, hang up the phone, and you didn't get a word in edgewise? That's not a conversation. You were talked at, but a conversation is give and take. Listening is participating. Listening is not doing nothing. Listening, in order to listen, you have to engage. How many times do we pray and we talk at God, but never try to listen? Do we make space in our prayer time for a minute even of quietness, of listening? If he's the good shepherd and we are the flock who know his voice, do we spend enough time getting to know his voice? The shepherd doesn't just show up and go, "All right, everybody, this is my voice. Now you're going to listen to me." It takes time. It takes relationship before those sheep begin to trust the shepherd. I think Lent is a good time to start participating in that. We still actually got a lot of Lent left. And Lent can be a season where we actually build good behavior, good practices, right? Mark's first people who ever got to experience this gospel didn't read it. They heard it. Those red letters were not seen but heard. I invite you to spend some time in the gospels listening to Jesus. If you're going to read it, say it out loud. If you're in your car, they've got an app for everything. They have plenty of apps that can get your favorite version of the Bible, the translation, whatever you want, and they'll speak it to you. They'll read it to you. We have no excuse not to hear in today's world Jesus and his words. And as we're praying, even if it's just the Lord's Prayer, that's all you can muster, or a thank you, God, do we allow just a little space to listen? I'm going to invite you and encourage you that in your prayer life, you take time to listen. Even if it's just for a minute. Because if we truly believe who Jesus is, if we affirm what is revealed here in the Transfiguration, that Jesus is the one who, this isn't just he's shining, right? Mark goes out of his way to differentiate him. He's not like Moses. This is something more. This is where we as Christians point back to this moment as Jesus is both fully human and fully divine. And we see that happening here. And if that's true, if he is that, if Jesus is this one, if he is the Messiah, if he is the Son of God, if he is the Son of Man that he claims to be, and we agree with that, then we need to spend time listening. Because part of that belief of being Christian is that he died, yes, but he rose. He ascended. He is seated at the right hand of God, right? Those are our creeds. And not just there, but that same way in which the Father communicates his will, his desire, his love, the Holy Spirit, is the gift that God has given us. So if our belief is Jesus is who he is, and we can speak to Jesus because he's alive today and present with us, then we should be able to listen to him. That's still a reality we can participate in today. So this Lent, I'm inviting you, yes, to spend time in your Bible, but maybe in a way you're not used to. Maybe you're used to just opening it up and reading a couple of verses and closing it. I'm inviting you to read it out loud. I'm inviting you to read the words of Jesus, to hear the voice of God. I'm inviting you that in your prayer time, to actually allow the Spirit to talk. How can we hear what God is calling us to do next? How can we be obedient if we're not listening? How can we be led if we're never trying to listen? So this Lent, for what's left, and there's a lot left, there's more than a couple of weeks left, I invite you to spend some time in prayer, listening, activating this part of who you are called to be, actively participating in prayer, not just by speaking, but by listening. And taking that even a step further, if you want, by reading those Gospels, seeing those red letters and hearing them out loud, and allowing the voice of the Good Shepherd to shape you. Otherwise, we'll find ourselves like Peter, missing a whole bunch of stuff.
Amen?
Amen.
Let us pray. Good Father, you are the one who calls us your children. And like good children, we recognize our parents' voice. They say even in the womb, the children know their mother's voice. And even from the womb, we know yours. But as somebody who's walked through grief, who knows what it's like, to not remember the voice of those who passed on, we need to be reminded that we need to be active in our participation in life with you, in our walk with you, in our talks with you. And that means not talking at you, but listening, taking stock of the moments when we recognize you are with us, and not just speaking all the time, but listening. Listening for your call, listening for your guidance, listening for your direction, your purpose for us. So, Father, as we've said here since our night in our ecumenical service, may we come and be present before you. May we come and see you, Jesus. May we be present with you. And as we come before you, as we come into your presence, may we talk with you. May we slow down enough to listen to your voice, to hear your voice, so that way we can walk in your ways and delight in your name and your goodness. So, Father, this Lent, give us a spirit of listening. Create in a pattern for us a way to fully commune with you, to have a deep conversation with you, to hear where you may be calling us, leading us, speaking into our lives. And in doing so, may we find ourselves in more holy moments than we recognize. May we find ourselves seeing you more and more, having you revealed to us in such a way that we could have our own moment on top of the mountain. And may we be present for it. Give us the awareness that isn't Peter or James or John, but one where we can listen and take in and enjoy the moment with you. So that way when you call us to do something, we can be obedient and follow. Father, we pray this in your holy, holy name. And in the name of your Son, Jesus, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.